I don't know if you heard in the last few weeks of a discovery of a dinosaur graveyard in America. They're keeping the site a secret because they're worried that people are going to go there to steal these bones. It's massive, apparently. They said it will involve 20 years of research to investigate all these dinosaur bones that are gathered there. Huge creatures in great numbers, overwhelmed by a sudden catastrophe. Jason Duffin, the pastor over at Glencroft, often speaks to folk who are skeptical about the flood and what the Bible says. And he challenges them to describe a process that sweeps a mountainside of forest off a mountain and buries it in water to produce oil. That's what oil is, isn't it? Oil is vegetable matter that's been swept off the mountain and buried under huge pressure to produce. Have you got a process that can explain that? Well, these two things are explained by the flood that we've read about in Genesis chapter 7. This huge catastrophe, this cataclysmic catastrophe is poured out on the earth. And something of the cataclysm is expressed there in verse 11. The 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened. So there was probably some sort of seismic activity that broke open the earth, and water gushes out of the ground, and water pours down from the heavens. But what we need to remember is that this is God's judgment. Thank you, John. And now there we are. This is the judgment that falls on the earth. This catastrophe is God's judgment poured out on a wicked, sinful earth. And we know that the flood serves as a model of God's final judgment. So the Lord Jesus, speaking about his coming as judge at the end of time. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. It's a model of what will happen when Jesus returns in judgment. Peter says the same thing as he writes in 2 Peter chapter 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is the coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. See the parallel again. In the days of Noah, when God deluged the world, so also the coming day, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. The flood serves as a model for the final judgment. And we'll think about what this chapter teaches us in the light of that. Well, notice first of all then, the day of judgment is set. And we picked that up, didn't we, speaking there earlier. What does the Lord say in verse 4? 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. God had set the day for judgment. And he tells Noah, in 7 days, the judgment will fall. And I will wipe from the face of the earth every creature I have made. Verse 10, and after the 7 days, the flood waters came on the earth. The day was set, and the day duly arrived. So it is with that final day, the day of judgment, when Christ returns. Paul, writing, speaking to the people in Athens, says in Acts 17 and verse 31, God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. God has set a day. Yes, the Lord Jesus says, now no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. The Father knows the day that he has set for judgment. The day for judgment is set. It's marked on God's calendar. And that day will come as God has decreed. There will not be a Brexit delay. The 31st of March, that's the day. No, it's the 31st of August. Well, it might October. Well, let's see. God's day, the day of judgment, is set, and it will arrive. History is heading to that day that God has established and determined, when Christ will come, not as a babe to be born in a manger, but as the judge supreme. The day is set. It may be 700 years from now. It may be 7 years from now. It may be 7 months from now. It may be 7 days from now. But the day is set. The day of judgment has been set. But then also notice that the judgment will be universal. And that's made clear repeatedly in this passage, that the judgment is universal. This flood was a universal flood. There in verse 4, God says, 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. Verse 19 makes that clear again, that it's a universal flood. The waters rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. And clearly the 150 days that the waters remained on the earth prevented anything from surviving. You could swim for a few days, perhaps. But for 150 days, the flood, the judgment came universally and swept away all life. And so we have repeated 10 times the all or every. Everything is involved. Everything is dealt with in this flood. Notice again the repetition that comes in verses 21, 22 and 23. God says, every living thing that moved on the earth perished, birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth and all mankind. Verse 22, everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Verse 23, every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. The judgment was universal. There was no means of avoiding it. There was no escape from it. This flood swept everything in its path. And that final judgment will be universal. The Lord Jesus makes that clear. We read from Matthew 24. In Matthew 25, Jesus says in verse 31, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." All the nations will be gathered before Jesus, and he will separate one from another. Each one will be put into one category or the other. The judgment is universal. Made clear again in Revelation and chapter 20, where we read again of this great throne that is set. "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done." The judgment is a universal judgment. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There is to be a universal judgment that involves everyone and everything, as this judgment involved everything. So that final judgment is a universal judgment that will involve everyone. So there is this universality about the judgment that falls. It's all encompassing. No one is excused. No one escapes. But then thirdly, there is only one refuge from the judgment. And that's made very clear, isn't it? Especially as we come to the end of the passage. Verse 23 says, "Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. Men and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark." That was the only refuge from the judgment that came. It was no good them climbing trees. They were soon overwhelmed. It was no good them climbing mountains. They were eventually overwhelmed by the flood waters. There was only one refuge. Every other refuge was overwhelmed by the flood waters. Anything else that people put their trust in was pointless and useless when those mighty waters flooded the earth. There was only one way to escape, and that was to be in the ark. But notice two important things about Noah and his presence in the ark. Verse 1. "The Lord then said to Noah, 'Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation.'" Righteous means right by God's standard. Not right by our standards, not right by our society's standards, because they're always changing. Right by God's standard. "You and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation." And we know that Hebrews 11 tells us how Noah was righteous. Hebrews 11 verse 7 says, "By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen," this great flood that was coming, In holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. How was Noah righteous? By faith. He believed God's word. That's why he did what God said. Noah believed God. Noah believed that God would provide for his deliverance. God had made that covenant, as we saw at the end of chapter 6 with Noah. God had entered into agreement with Noah, pledged himself to Noah. Noah believed. He trusted. He was righteous by faith. And that's how we can escape the judgment. The only refuge is to be righteous by God's standard. And that's not by our efforts, not by our performance, that we make ourselves right enough in God's sight. It's by faith in Jesus. It's by believing in him that we are made righteous in God's sight. We are accounted righteous in God's sight. How? Because the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to us. As we believe in Jesus, as we give up trusting in ourselves and in what we do, as we rely upon Jesus totally, God takes all the rightness of Jesus, all that's right about Jesus, and imputes it to us, reckons it to our account, so that in his sight, we are as right as Jesus is. By believing, by trusting in Jesus, we are righteous. And therefore we have refuge from the judgment because we are right by God's standard through faith in Jesus Christ. But then notice also another thing regarding Noah. There it is in verse 5. Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. That's repeated from the end of chapter 6 as well. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. And it comes again there in verse 9. Male and female came to Noah and entered the ark as God had commanded Noah. And again in verse 16, the animals going in were male and female of every living creature as God had commanded Noah. Noah did all that God commanded. See, this was evidence that he was righteous in God's sight. That he was obedient to God. This was evidence of his righteous state. People who claim to believe in Jesus but live in disobedience to God are deceived and will not be spared in the judgment. Those who claim to be righteous, oh, I believe in Jesus, but if they live in disobedience, they are deceived and they will be judged. There is evidence of a righteous state, and it's obedience to God's commands. And therefore, Noah is in that place of refuge that God has provided in grace. Noah, the one who is righteous by faith. Noah, who is obedient, giving evidence of his righteous state in God's sight. There is only one refuge from the judgment. And we've witnessed, haven't we, terrible pictures of floods that have happened in recent days and months in other places of the world. People overwhelmed by floodwaters. And we have to grasp something of the horror of this event as these floodwaters rose on the earth and wiped out human life. People despairing. There is one refuge only. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. There was no escape. There was no other refuge. Only In the ark was their safety and security. And Noah was in the ark, as we saw at the end of chapter 6, because God covenanted with him to be there in that ark of rescue. So, as we anticipate the fact that God has set a day for judgment, and that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we need to ensure that we are in that place of refuge. That when we stand before God, we're not trusting in our performance, we're not trusting in how right we think we are compared to others. We are right by God's standard because we've believed in the Lord Jesus. We've trusted him alone so that we need not fear when we stand in God's holy presence and our lives are exposed to his searching glare. We can stand confident because there is no condemnation now to those who are in Christ Jesus. But then also notice, finally, that the judgment will issue in a new beginning. And that's why we have this repetition in this chapter of the fact that Noah, his wife, his three sons and their three wives all went into the ark, and the animals, male and female, they all went into the ark. That's because there's to be a new beginning. Human pairs and creature pairs, male and female, are in the ark to preserve their lives. So again, verse 3 says, you take these creatures, seven of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. Destruction was with a view to restoration, a new beginning. Which is the very thing that Peter says when he refers to these flood waters. By these waters, this is in 2 Peter 3, by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Yes. So as the flood purged the earth of evil, the fire will purge the cosmos of all that's evil. It will be a purging fire, not a destroying fire, because a new heaven and a new earth will come, as it were, from the ashes. The home of righteousness. The world after the flood wasn't a home of righteousness. Even though there was a new beginning and a fresh start, sin had infected the human family beyond repair. But here, on that day of judgment, when judgment falls, there will be a new beginning, a new heaven and a new earth for those who took refuge in God's saving provision in Jesus Christ. A new beginning, where there will be no more pain or sorrow or crying or death. The old order of things has passed away. Behold, I make all things new. So it will be when the Lord Jesus returns in power and majesty. Everyone is gathered, all nations are gathered and are separated, each to their category. those on the left will go into eternal torment and suffering. Those on the right into eternal life and joy and peace in his presence forever. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Are you ready for the judgment? God has set the day. A day has been set. It will involve everyone who has ever lived. There is only one refuge from that judgment. It's in Jesus Christ. And it's in him alone that we can be right in God's, by God's standard. And that judgment will issue in a glorious, blessed, unimaginable new beginning for those who have taken refuge. For those who don't, eternal despair. Let's pray. Our God, we bow before you, the God of holiness, righteousness, and justice. Lord, we acknowledge afresh that sin is an offence to you. Sin is rebellion against you, and sin deserves your judgment. Lord, we do pray that you will help us to believe these truths that your word speaks, and to be ready by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him alone for deliverance and escape from the coming wrath. Thank you that in your grace you have provided a rescue, an escape, a refuge. Lord, may each of us and all of us know that we are safe because we are in Jesus Christ. For his glory, for our eternal good, we pray. Amen. We conclude by singing, "Restore, O Lord, the honour of your name."